following is a presentation of Inspire Church of Skagit Valley.
But anyhow, we're talking about achieve. I've talked about four different messages, and this is number five. Achieving more. You know, we want so much. We always start every year with the idea, I want more, I want to do better in the year. I've tried to give you four different categories that I think are very important for the follower of Christ. Now, first of all, is have an objective for the year. Have a goal. Where do I want to get? Do I want to learn another language? Whatever I want to do. I want to read the Bible through. I want to pray an hour a day. Have an objective, and talked about goals and objectives. And if we don't know where we're going, we're going to get there every time, okay? So know where you're going. Get there. We talked a little bit about the importance of 2017, achieving more by increasing our prayer and our fasting times. I think, guys, every one of us can probably be right there and increase the amount of time we spend in prayer, okay? You want to achieve more, guess what? Pray more. Hello? That's a no-brainer. But anyhow, we talked about that. We also talked about achieving more in 2017 by being a good steward of our time, talent, and treasure. Not going to re-preach it, but there it is. We have been given three incredible things. The Bible says required of us to be found faithful. Let's be found faithful in how we use our time, how we use our talents, and how we use our treasure for the kingdom of God. And then a couple weeks ago, we talked about the importance of right relationships, how bad company corrupts good character. We talked a little bit about that. All along, I've emphasized right choices and determination is the key in achieving anything in our lives. I know this sounds very secular, but we can see it a lot in the Bible about right choices and determination. If we want to achieve more in our life. And it's crazy, over the past month, I've done had a lot of meetings with people. I met with 9 different people 1 week, and it just seemed like, wow, what in the world is going on? But I don't know how many times I came back to the importance of helping them with their lives with the area of right choices and determination. Make right choices, not dumb choices, and be determined. In other words, don't give up. So I find those incredibly accurate and very appropriate for our lives. The last factor I want to add to our list today is from 2 different passages of Scripture, but it's one key thought. And it's a very simple one you probably heard a lot about, but I just want to reemphasize it here to us. First of all, a little bit of a Bible study. Turn with me in your Bibles, your mobile devices, to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And we're going to look at a little passage of Scripture by Paul. Excuse me. And in this passage of Scripture, he addresses the importance of having a Spirit-filled mind, okay? Having my mind tuned into the Spirit. He ends the passage of Scripture in verse 16 of 1 Corinthians chapter 2 with this simple phrase, and he just simply says, but I have the mind of Christ. There's one verse I want to get out there for you today. It's this one right here. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16. But I have the mind of Christ. Say that with me. But I have the mind of Christ. One more time. But I have the mind of Christ. We need to have that understanding that we have the mind of Christ. In this passage, starting with verse 10 through verse 16, he simply very, very clearly articulates that no one knows the thoughts or the inner intellect or understanding of man but God. Please understand that with me. I've said it many times. I say it again to all of us here. Understand, guys, Satan does not know your thoughts, okay? God knows your thoughts. The psalmist says, yea, who knows the mind of man but God and God alone, okay? Then Paul reiterates it in this passage of Scripture right here very clearly, that the Spirit of God knows our thoughts, okay? And so we must have a Spirit-filled mind. The mind, again, means intellect or understanding or our thought processes. And upon salvation, our minds are renewed. Do you know that? Our minds get renewed. Our minds go through a transformation process that we'll talk about more. And we literally, after salvation, we become a little bit more spiritually aware. Those of you, when you gave your life to Christ, did you become a little bit more spiritually aware? All of a sudden, you're a little bit more keen. All of a sudden, you say, wait a minute, I better stop lying. Oh, I better stop using that word. Wait a minute, I better stop. Why? There was a spiritual keenness or a sensitivity that took place all of a sudden when Jesus took over. Why? Because I have the mind of Christ. As soon as I get saved, I have this mind of Christ begins to kick in. There's a book by a pastor, his name is Judah Smith. He pastors City Church down in Kirkland. And in the book that he wrote, it's called How's Your Soul? And he starts out at the very beginning of the book. And this past week while I was down and out, I read the book. And But he starts out in this book, he says, you know, when we discover the reality of our soul, when we get saved, it's like coming home from a trip. How many of you guys love to travel? But how many of you love coming home? Yeah, you go away and you go there and you go visit this. And, you know, I love visiting and I love going to see my kids. But there's something about coming home, isn't there? Your own refrigerator, your own bathroom and your own bed and your own pillow. And there's just something special. It's like, you know, you don't have to live out of a suitcase anymore. You know, you don't have to put your clothes on. They're all wrinkled anymore. Well, maybe they still are, but never mind. You know, you just don't care. Yeah, who cares much? And so, but it's like he said, when we get our lives, here it is, guys, listen to me so closely here. If nothing else this morning here, and when we finally get our lives right with God, it's like we come home. See, because that's where it's our sweet spot in our life. The sweet spot of our life is not out doing all of the junk of the world. Our sweet spot in our life, where we find the fulfillment, where we find the abundance, is when we find right relationship with Jesus Christ. See, that's where it is. That's our sweet spot. That's like we're, I'm coming home. And that's what Paul talks about here. We've been given a renewed mind. We have the mind of Christ. And when we have that mind of Christ, it's like we're coming home. We begin to flow in that thought processes of the Holy Spirit-filled mind. You see, we have the opportunity and the availability to tap in to his intellect and his knowledge and his understanding. Why? Because we have the mind of Christ. See, it's like it's transformed us. It's come and live with us. Okay, it's something that doesn't take over, but it becomes available to us. Okay, you see, it's that spiritual awareness that affects every part of our life. Things that we are now sensitive to. Why? Because we have the mind of Christ. We begin to see differently. We begin to hear differently. We begin to act differently. Why? We have the mind of Christ. Everything changes. I used to have a 1971 Ford F-100. I knew I'd get a little bit of response there. And I probably would still have it if some wonderful individual did not, you know, look in their rearview mirror and realize that I was coming down the road and didn't pull out and hit right at the column and destroyed, I totaled out my truck. People need to use the, never mind, okay? But I had this 1971 Ford truck, and did almost exactly like that. Great job, Brent. Way to find it. Oh, except mine was exactly like that, only didn't have the white top. How cool. Oh. Pause for a moment of silence. Wow. Yeah, do I need a hug? Yeah, I need a hug. That was my truck, and it had a 4-speed, and that granny gear. It had a glove compartment that you could hide a kid in. You know, it was just huge, you know. And it had a 351 cubic inch, you know, and it just, I mean, that thing took me anywhere I wanted to go, and off we would go. I was known in the city as the pastor with the blue truck, you know. It was just the coolest thing. I loved that blue truck. And until that lady, never mind. How many of you guys remember those huge engine compartments, you know, up the hood? And you could sit in there and change the spark plugs. You know, you didn't have to get in a yoga position in order to try to do it. And actually, you could find them. You know, I don't know where mine are in mine, but anyhow. Okay, I had this truck, and it was just wonderful. And what's it like to sit inside the cockpit now of an F-150? I think we got some. See there? Yeah, look at that. Oh, look at that. Isn't that a thing of beauty? But look inside. It's just like stuff everywhere. Now, I'm going to use an illustration this morning, and I'm going to use this, stay on that one right there. I'm going to use this illustration several times, and some of you are probably going to disagree. You're going to say, let's go back to the simple, you know, but just follow the analogy with me, okay? Follow it. Now, we go from the simplicity of my 1971 with the air conditioner, or not, you didn't have air conditioning, you didn't have power steering, you know, but the heating was so easy, it was just a switch. It was on or off. No heated seats to worry about. None of this, you know, 65 over here, 95 for my wife. You know, there was just none of that kind of stuff, okay? It was just a simple, I mean, they had a big speaker right in the very middle of the dash. It was just, you know, it sounded awful, you know? I mean, it was simple. And look at this. Look at the complexity and the changes of it all. Please, again, There may be the possibility, I don't like that, give me the simple. But just follow the analogy. The cars now with all the gadgets and all the gizmos, the bells and the whistles, they're absolutely incredible, aren't they? I mean, they almost drive themselves. They beep at you when you do some lane, some drifting. You know, they start beeping at you, you know, all this kind of stuff. They even brake for you. I mean, it is just amazing how you can sit there and you can just, total comfort. Now, I want to wrap your brain around something. And please just understand the comparison here. And here's what I want you to see. Wrap your brain around this. I think this is what happens when we get saved. Because we go from the simplicity of our mind to the complexity of the mind of Christ. We go from just our own little world to all of a sudden this whole new world, this whole new kingdom of God opens up to us. We go from the little simplicity of the things of our life to all of a sudden the Bible becomes our number one. And all of a sudden that gets engrafted into our spirits. All of a sudden we move from the simplicity to this incredible complex, but the complex is so incredibly beautiful to us. Think about it with me. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Follow this. Therefore, I urge you, Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2. Heard this verse, but I just want to point out some end to it. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. Well, that's another sermon later, but I want you to get the context. So, surrender. I give my life to Christ. The second thing I do is I surrender. This is my spiritual act of worship. There's no greater act of worship than we can have is this right here. I present my body. I'm yours, God. Okay, ultimate worship right there. Then it goes on. Do not conform. Somebody say conform. Notice, do not conform any longer to the simplicity, follow me, of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your, what? Your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and perfect and pleasing will. Now here comes the challenge. Conformed means to continue with the same line of thinking. Uh-oh, look at that. It says, do not be conformed to the patterns of this world. In other words, do not be conformed to the continual way of thinking that you had before you gave your life to Christ. There are thinking processes out there about, you know, get your neighbor before he gets you. There's all kinds of philosophies about debt and finances. There are all kinds of things that we used to practice, but the Bible says, forget those patterns and move on to that which is new. All right? So we look at that, and the next word there I want you to see is the word transformed. Say transformed with me. Come on. I'm transformed. I'm not conformed to the images and the patterns of the old world that I used to walk in, but I'm transformed. And the word transformed here is an interesting word. It's where we get our word metamorphosis. What does metamorphosis mean? It means changing. It means a process of turning. And so we see that happens with a caterpillar. When a caterpillar becomes a butterfly, what's that process called? Metamorphosis, okay? And so the word here means to be transformed. Let there be a metamorphosis take place in us by the renewing of our minds so we no longer see the patterns of this world, but we begin to see the new spiritual patterns. Why? I have the mind of Christ. All of a sudden, wait a minute, I begin to walk with the mind of Christ rather than patterns of the old world, my old thought processes. Let me go back to the truck. Every time you get in the truck, you have to transform your mind. Stop thinking like, every time I get into a new truck, I have to stop thinking like I'm in old blue. Okay, let's bring it back more to reality. How many of you in your cars, maybe you have two different cars. My wife has a Volvo and I have my Jeep Liberty. Okay, interesting, when I get in my car, I'm totally comfortable. Because I know where everything is. I get in her car, and what do I have to do? Change my thinking processes. One way I have to think, change my thinking processes is the windshield, the power windows. In my Jeep, the power windows are right here. And so if I want the window down, I go over here. How many times do I get in Becca's car, and I want to roll down the window at Starbucks and order my white chocolate Americano, I go here. Oh, who put them over there? See, I get in a different vehicle and I have to what? Transform my mind to think differently than the way I've thought all along. That's the illustration I want you to see here this morning. Okay? The word test there means to approve through experience. It's kind of like being tried by fire. Again, let me put it in our truck vernacular, truck illustration. You will be pleased. You'll be so pleased. Once you learn, again, you may say no to this, but just follow me and just say, yes, Pastor, okay? You will learn after you get into your new truck or your new car, and you learn how to adjust the seats, and you learn how to adjust the heater, and you learn how to adjust the stereo, and you learn how to talk on your Bluetooth phone, and you've been driving along and answer the call from your husband or answer the car call. You say, call my wife. And he calls your wife. All this kind of crazy stuff. Once you get used to that, you think, dude, this is awesome. This is cool, man. I like my truck. Are you with me? Okay? Again, follow the analogy. You see, instead of going from old blue, you're now in new blue. And you're driving along and go, yeah, I like this. This is great. See? Excuse me. And so the analogy here is just simply this. When we begin, now please get this. When we begin to adjust our minds to the new way of thinking, and really we'll come back to this, according to the Bible, new way of living and thinking, it will prove to us just how incredibly amazing, follow me, just how incredibly amazing God is. When we begin to plug in the mind of Christ and begin to live according to His will, His purpose, His plan, and we begin to follow Him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, all of a sudden we're going to sit back and go, yeah, He's cool. God is good. God is awesome. And Romans chapter 12 says that you might prove that which is that good, perfect, and acceptable or pleasing will of God. You see, we'll begin to experience that as we begin to plug Him in and accept why? The mind of Christ. Aha. I begin to live in that. See? Therefore, number five here, achieving more in the 2017 is just simply allowing my mind, my thinking processes to be renewed. Allow them to be transformed and come in alignment with what God says in His Word. I know it's a simple thought, but guys, we need to do it. Hello, turn to the person next to you and say, you need to do it. Okay? See, Jesus, how many times, I looked it up. Jesus said this an awful lot. Jesus said many, many, many times, you have heard it said, but I say unto you. You have heard it said that you shall not kill, but I say unto you, even if you're angry with your brother, you have heard it said, do not commit adultery, but I say unto you, if you even look upon a woman. You have heard it said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, but I say unto you, whoever hits you on the cheek, turn the other one also. You have heard it said, love your neighbor, hate your enemy, but I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them, do good, and pray for them. Notice here, I believe what Jesus is trying to say is He's trying to reorient them, follow me, to a new truck. You think you're supposed to be like this, but I'm saying live like this. I've given you the mind of Christ so you can live in a different way. Change your thinking patterns to align them with God's Word and not with the old patterns of the world. Hello? Boy, it's a simple thing, but God, it's so, so incredibly true. The way we come in alignment with God's process is to simply train ourselves to think according to the Word of God. Period. Here's a thought. Let me throw this out to you. Okay? Again, the way we come in alignment with God's processes and have the mind of Christ is to train ourselves to think according to what the Bible says. Okay? The way you change anything, you're going to write this down and you're going to talk about it when you have your pot roast this after church this morning or before you prepare for the game or whatever. The way you change anything is to first change the way you think about it. Let that just sink in a minute. The way you change anything is to, first of all, change the way you think about it, because when you get your mind right, you get your world right. Well, I'm not getting a lot of amens here, but I think I'm getting a lot of like, huh. It's so true, though, okay? You see, a lot, now follow me here, okay? A lot has been said about the power of positive thinking. I just do not want to go there on the pros and the cons of it, because there are a lot of truth. There's a lot of challenges to it also. I understand that. But I want you to throw this in there. But think about it. If there is truth in the power of positive thoughts, then how much more powerful that principle would be if we find the focus of our thoughts based upon the Word of God rather than secular ideologies or philosophy. Think about how much more powerful. Again, if by the way, I forgot to get something. Everybody point over here and say, happy birthday to Jalita. Yeah. Jalita turns 29 on Friday. Woohoo! Yeah, anyhow, and we'll get something for you. I just noticed it this morning and I thought, oh no, I missed. But anyhow, okay, where were I? Okay. It's so powerful for us to begin to understand just that simple concept If positive mental attitude, and we hear that a lot, and I think there's a lot of good to it, isn't there? The power of mental thoughts, mental capacities, okay, positive. If that's true, which it is, how much more powerful would it be when we apply the Word of God to those positive thoughts? Okay, all right. Come on, guys. Come on. Yeah, okay, they're good. Okay. And that's, again, that's an incredibly powerful, important, right choice in my life. Let's take a look at some applications here just really quick as we wind down here, okay? This principle applies to our speech. Why? Because Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. So if I have the mind of Christ, what should I do? Rather than curse people, I bless them. That's what the Bible says, okay? If I have an enemy, instead of cursing them or wanting to get even with them, if I have the mind of Christ, what will I begin to do? I will bless and not curse. Because death and life are in the power of the words that I speak, you see? So having the mind of Christ affects my speech. It affects my thinking processes. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Whatsoever things are pure, honest, clean, lovely, of good report, think on these things, okay? Now, if we want to change our world, we first change the way we think about it. Think about this with me. Maybe it's not my job that must change, but maybe it's my attitude toward it. Okay? I'm just being stinking practical with us here. Okay? Maybe it's not my job that's the issue. Maybe it's me. Hello? Okay? Maybe I should start saying, God, I'm thankful for my job. I'm thankful for my wonderful overseer. He's such a wonderful person. Maybe I could change the atmosphere of my job by changing first the way I think about it. If there be any virtue, think on these things. Philippians 4:8. Maybe it's not my kid that has to change, but maybe it's my attitude toward them. Maybe my kid isn't the problem. Maybe it's your husband. I mean, no, maybe it's you. So if we want something to change in our home, maybe we should start changing the way we're thinking about it first. Is that biblical? Absolutely. Whatsoever things are, think on these things. Children are a blessing from the Lord, not a curse. Hello? Start thinking about what the Bible says rather than what the old patterns were. Maybe it's not my mate's fault for all these things. Maybe it's my attitude toward them. Maybe I have a stinking thinking attitude. Maybe I am wrong in my attitude toward them if they can't do anything right. They're always doing this. They're always late. They're always sloppy. They can't pick up their... They can't... Maybe I better change my first. Are you with me? You see, whatsoever things are, think on these things. How about our lives? It applies to our lives. It applies to so much more. I'm just picking out these three to try to get some application here. Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then all these things shall be added unto you. Okay? Seek first His kingdom with my life. King Solomon said the most important thing in my life after his life of incredible wealth, he said, but the most important aspect of my life is that I would live my life to glorify God. Isn't that what he says? Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then all these things. See, here's the why. Why should I do that? Why should I accept the mind of Christ? Why should I try to change the way I'm thinking? Why should I do this? Well, there's an incredible principle in the Bible called fullness, called abundance, called fulfillment, called lasting joy and peace. There's an amazing principle out there that says, wait a minute, I can have life, but I want to have life more abundantly. I believe the difference between the two is that I'm accepting, as I move the life more abundantly, I move into this place of accepting and realizing I have the mind of Christ here. I don't have to respond or react in this way anymore. I have the mind of Christ. It's a difference that we must accept. You see, you can either stay driving your 71 Ford, or you can move up to the 2017 F-150, or the Dodge Ram, or the Silverado, whatever cranks your tractor, okay? I heard a new one this week, whatever blows your hair back. Doesn't help me, but anyhow, you know, doesn't apply to this kid, but, you know, I thought it was kind of cute. Some of you are more well-endowed and more lucky than I am. But anyhow, okay, let me close with these, okay? Last thought here, Matthew 12:24. Jesus replied, Are you not in error because you do not know the Scriptures or the power of God? Jesus, simple principle here. Are you not in error because you do not know the Scriptures? The word error means to roam from safety. Now, let me ask a simple question. How many of you ever had your children by you in the mall, and all of a sudden, they're gone? Like, where did they go? And you're just like, oh, no. We had our son, Dustin. All of a sudden, we were in Penny's one time. We were all supposed to get in this family photo, and everybody was there, and all of a sudden, we looked around. Wait a minute, where's Dustin? And he had what? He had erred. He had roamed from safety. He was about two departments over, hiding in one of those round clothing racks. I had to make sure I had the mind of Christ right there. Are you with me? But anyhow, see, it's like the little child that roams away while we're shopping in the mall. That's what the scripture means. It says, are you not roaming away from the safety of God's presence, of God's will, of God's plan, because you don't know the scriptures? Or are you not living life to the full because you are walking away from the scriptures? That's what it means. And see, this is where church comes in so much, guys. This is where connect, or life groups come in. This is where discovery classes come in. This is where reading our Bible comes in. Because where will we learn the scriptures that we can apply if we are never reading our Bible? Hello, guys. Hello. If we're never reading our Bible, if we're never in a place where we can learn more about God, if we're never learning more about Scripture, if we're not digging into the Bible anywhere, anyhow, in either a life group, in a Bible study, at a home, or with Rick, with 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, or with any of these, if we're never doing that, guys, how do we expect to grow? How do we ever get any new application of the mind of Christ? We can't. See, if you're not reading your Bible every day, you're not allowing your mind to be renewed from the old patterns and traditions. How are you renewing? You're not. Okay? So here's the crux of it. We see a situation one way, God sees it another. Let me just run through some scriptures that I use a lot, that are down deep inside of my spirit, and I trust that you would get them into yours over the process of time, because I think it's having the mind of Christ. Why? Because the mind of Christ is directly tied to the Word of God. Okay? That's why. Get the Word in you. Okay? Get the Word in you. And there's a lot. The entrance, Psalm 119 says, the entrance of His Word brings life and understanding. I get His Word in me. But anyhow, that's another topic. Here's the crux. You see, how many of you guys ever faced impossible situations? Our old pattern would say, oh no, I better give up. No, the Bible says, with God all things are possible. He's an unstoppable God. So I turn it. Rather than saying, oh me, oh my, okay, I think I go eat some worms. I'm going to say, no, God, with You nothing is impossible. I'm going to believe in You. God, I don't know if I can get through the day. This day is going to be incredible. I don't know. Wait a minute. I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength. As my day is, so shall my strength be. The joy of the Lord is my strength. I can do this. See, I'm not being conformed to the patterns of the world that would say gloom, despair, and agony. On the other side, I'm saying I can do all things through Christ. God, I don't know how You're going to work out this whole thing for my family this, or my job this, or my finances, or whatever. Wait a minute. God says, I'm able to make all things work together for good, for my glory. I'm able to do that. So what, wait a minute. How can we claim that, believe that, if we don't have that scripture tucked down in our hearts? See, how can we come against and come out of that pattern if we don't have a new pattern developed? Are you with me? God, there's just so many people that are against me. There's so many people that are saying this and are saying that. Wait a minute. Doesn't the Bible say, no weapon formed against me shall prosper? Wait a minute. Say what you want. No weapon formed against me is going to prosper. Doesn't the Bible say, I just feel so guilty? Bible doesn't say that. You feel so guilty. You're so overwhelmed with maybe a mistake that you made. Wait a minute. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, there is now therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ. Wait a minute. I move away from the patterns of discouragement and depression, or I move away from defeat and despair. I move away and say, wait a minute. I'm going to walk with the mind of Christ. And when I walk with the mind of Christ, I'm asking myself, what does the Bible say? See? No condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. God, I just feel so bad. I just feel so sick. Da, da, da. Wait a minute. Doesn't the Bible say, by His stripes I'm healed? See? Apply it. Okay? So many more. We can say, He gives His angels charge over me. Every time you drive somewhere, God, I thank You that You give Your angels charge over me to protect me and keep me in all my ways. Are you with me? It's moving away from the old pattern, moving away. Wait a minute. What's the Bible say? Doesn't the Bible say something about my God shall supply all my needs according to His riches and glory? Wow. Doesn't it say the peace of God rules in my heart? Wow. Wait a minute. You see, all I'm trying to say here is it boils down to a determination issue. In all of life's challenges, issues, and struggles, I choose to apply the Word of God, knowing that the Word of God will always be successful at accomplishing this purpose. And I have the mind of Christ. There. I'm going to ask Cheryl if she'd come to the piano. And as we close here this morning, and as we just take time to process all of this here, I just want to challenge us this morning, okay? And I want to make a little statement that may be a little controversial or maybe a little bit difficult, but I just want to say it here this morning. A phrase came to me this week. It is not impossible to be a Christian, but it is impossible to be a Christian without God. Let that sink in just for a minute. It's not impossible to be a Christian, but it is impossible to be a Christian without God. What do I mean by that? I mean simply that so many people are trying to live Christian life without God. They're trying to live their Christian life like they're driving the old 71 Ford on their own strength, power steering, rah, on their own abilities, on everything having to do with their own. And God is saying to every one of us, don't have to live life on your own. You don't have to try to make it all on your own. I have something brand new for you, and it's called the mind of Christ. And I want to give it to you. I have the word of God that I want to give to you. If you want to achieve more in 2017, it boils down to this. Change your attitude. Change our attitudes, our mental concepts, so we begin to apply the word of God to our lives and not the old patterns of the world. Okay? You see, it's kind of like this. Anyone here ever go on a hike? Sure we have. When we go on a hike, it's usually very easy to stay on the trail. Okay? You go on the same trail. You see, that's the patterns of this old world. Patterns of my life before I gave my life to Christ was the same pattern. Okay? And it becomes very easy for us to do that. We get up in the morning, it's very easy for us to do this. I got in my Jeep this morning, it was very easy for me. I didn't even have to think twice. Seatbelt, close the garage door, lights on is right here. They're over here on Becca's car. It's absolutely ridiculous. But I closed the garage door, I turned my lights on, I grabbed my gear shift, it's not up here, it's right here, and I put it down, and I'm out of the driveway. It's all natural, okay? And there's a pattern for our life that becomes very natural, okay? If you want to see some change in things in our lives, can I just talk to you about this? Make a new pathway, okay? Make a new pathway. Wait a minute. I've always done it this before. Let's say that famous phrase, if we keep doing it that way, okay, how's that suicide thing going? Keep doing the same thing, expecting different results. I keep going this way. It certainly hasn't got me to where I want. Guess what? I want to change it, so I have to build a brand new pathway. I have to make a brand new highway. I have to begin to blaze a different trail than what I've done before. And I believe that that new trail is having to do with the Word of God. That new trail is accepting the mind of Christ in my life.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from Inspire Church. For more audio and video content, check out icskagitvalley.org.